कृष्ण भक्ताय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूताय श्रीमते मतिवेदान्ता स्वामिनिति नामिने Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Vishesha Sunyavari Paschacadi Satarine Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sridhar Shakti Gaura Bhaktavinda Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Ananta Gauti Vaishnava Vimiti Sata Sisi Chaitanya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jaya Sankirtan Jagya Ki Jaya Go Premanandi Hare Go. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Ananda and Sri Krishna. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya
Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Okay, we're reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's a pretty good amount to read here.
We have chapter 20.
So let's get into it. So this is Madhya Lila, chapter 20. The Lord instructs Sanatan Goswami, and it's text 348. Long chapter. Purvavat likiyave gunavatara gana.
Purvavat likiyave gunavatara
gana. Asankhya sankhya tanla nahaya ganana.
Asankhya sankhya
Translation. As stated before, when I describe the incarnations of the material modes, guna avatars, one should consider that these incarnations are also unlimited and that no one could count them. There's no purport to that, and personally I need to do some research to understand this. Maybe some of you already have the clue. I will usually think of three guna avatars, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, but here it's unlimited. Maybe because there's so many universes. Text 349. Chan yabu vatare ye eita ganana. Suni bangi kari tanve puche sanatana. Translation. Thus, I have given a description of the incarnations of the four different yugas. After hearing this, Sanatana Goswami gave an indirect hint to the Lord. This is text 350 now. And, okay. Raja Mantri Sanatana Budye Brihaspati.
Raja Mantri Sanatana Budye Brihaspati.
Prabhura kripate pucce asham kocham mati.
Prabhura kripate pucce asham kocham mati.
Sanatana Goswami had been a minister under Nawab Hussain Shah, and he was undoubtedly as intelligent as Brihaspati, the chief priest of the heavenly kingdom. Due to the Lord's unlimited mercy, Sanatana Goswami questioned him without hesitation. Okay, now, okay, what we can do is, even though this has a short purport, the next text, we'll just do it the same way we did the others without the purport, and then text 352 has a longer purport, and we can go through it word for word and the whole deal. So 351. Atik Shudra Jiva Muni Nicha Nicha Chara.
Atik Shudra Jiva Muni Nicha Nicha Chara.
Kemani Janiba Kalnite Kori Avatara.
Kemani Janiba Kalnite Kori Avatara.
Translation: Sanatana Goswami said, I am a very insignificant living entity. I am low and poorly behaved. How can I understand who is the incarnation for this age of Kali? This is called a hint. It's giving a hint to the Lord. There's a few incidents in Chaitanya Charitamrita where different devotees, learned devotees and great devotees, they try to corner Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to finally admit that he's Krishna, or actually Radha Krishna, but he's the Supreme Lord. And sometimes Lord Chaitanya would cover his ears and say, no, no, you can't, that's blasphemous, you can't, I'm just an ordinary living entity, you can't call me God. So we'll talk about that chana aspect, chana avatar, hidden incarnation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse is very important in reference to the incarnations of God. At present, there are especially many rascals prevalent in India, who proclaim themselves incarnations of God or goddesses. Thus they are fooling and bluffing foolish people. On behalf of the general populace, Sanatana Goswami presented himself as a foolish, low-born, poorly behaved person. All of that, foolish, low-born, and poorly behaved person. Although he was a most exalted personality, inferior people cannot accept the real God, yet they are very eager to accept an imitation God who can simply bluff foolish people. All this is going on in this age of Kali. To guide these foolish people, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answers the question as follows. Excuse me. So text 352. Prabhu kahe anyavatara shastra, but let me try this again. Prabhu kahe anyavatara shastra dvare jani.
Prabhu kahe anyavatara shastra dvare jani.
Kalite avatara taiche shastra bhakyamani.
Kalite avatara taiche shastra bhakyamani.
Prabhu kahe anyavatara shastra dvare jani.
Prabhu kahe anyavatara shastra dvare jani.
Kalite avatara taiche shastra bhakya mani.
Kalite avatara taiche shastra bhakya mani.
Prabhu kahe anyavatara shastra dvare jani.
Prabhu kahe anyavatara
shastra dvare jani.
Prabhu kahe anyavatara shastra dvare jani.
Prabhu kahe anyavatara shastra dvare jani.
word meanings. Prabhu Kahe.
Prabhu Kahe.
Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said.
Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said.
Anya Avatara.
Anya Avatara.
The incarnations in other yugas.
The incarnations in other yugas.
Shastadvari Jani.
Shastadvari Jani.
One has to accept by reference to the Shastras. Kalite, in this age of Kali,
in this age of Kali.
Avatara,
Avatara.
Incarnation,
Taichi,
it's not Taichi, nothing to do
Taichi.
With Taichi.
Taichi.
Similarly, Shastra Vakye Mani.
Shastra Vakye Mani.
One has to accept according to the description of revealed scriptures.
One has to accept according to the description of revealed scriptures.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, as in other ages, an incarnation is accepted according to the directions of the Shastras. In this age of Kali, an incarnation of God should be accepted in that way. Please repeat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied.
As in other ages,
the
incarnation is accepted
according to the directions of the Shastras.
In this age of Kali,
an incarnation of God
should be accepted in that way. Purport. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the way an incarnation should be accepted. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chittati Koriya Aikya. One should accept a thing as genuine by studying the words of saintly people, the spiritual master and Shastra. The actual center is Shastra, the revealed scripture. If the spiritual master does not speak according to revealed scripture, he is not to be accepted. Similarly, if a saintly person does not speak according to the Shastra, he is not a saintly person. Shastra is the center for all. Unfortunately, at the present moment, people do not refer to the Shastras. Therefore, they accept rascals as incarnations. And consequently, they have made incarnations into a very cheap thing. Intelligent people who follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions and the instructions of the Acharyas, the bona fide spiritual master, will not accept the pretender as an incarnation of God. In Kali Yuga, the only incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only incarnation is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Imitation incarnations take advantage of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord appeared within the past 500 years, played as the son of a Brahmana from Nadia, and introduced the Sankirtan movement. Imitating Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ignoring the Shastra, rascals present themselves as incarnations and introduce their rascaldom as a religious process. As we have repeatedly said, religion can be given only by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How does that go? Dharma tu shakshat bhagavat prinitam. That was the answers from between the Vishnu dutas and Yama dutas of discussion. Okay. The Prabhupada is alluding to that shastra here. From the discussions in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can understand that in different ages, the Supreme Lord introduces different systems and different religious duties. In this age of Kali, the only incarnation of Krishna is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he introduced the religious duty of Kali Yuga, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, as in other ages, an incarnation is accepted according to the directions of the Shastras. In this age of Kali, an incarnation of God should be accepted in that way. Om Agyanatam Nanda Shaj Nanjana Shalakya Shaksham Nidhitanyana Tasmar Shri Gurve Namaha. Okay. Quite a few points come up here. I'll try to. Just the main point is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Namo Mahabhinaya, the most munificent incarnation of the Lord. Of course, we also hear that he's not exactly avatar, he's avatari, just like Krishna, Svayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna is not. He's listed as a list, like Krishna and Balaram, there they are in the list. But Krishna's tu Bhagavan Svayam. And that also applies to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With the amalgamation or the integration with Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna. So, so there's a nice verse that's not included in this set of verses in this section, which I feel would complement what we're hearing very nicely. One of the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Nrsingadev, some of you may be familiar. Itam natirya rishi deva jasavatarai lokan vibhavayasi hamsi jagat pratipan dharmam mahapurusha pashi yuganubritam chanakalo yad ababashi yugo tasatvam. Translation is as follows. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Tri-Yuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. So this is called Chana Avatar, covered incarnation by his own desire. You know, the previous verse gives more of the same. It says, my dear Lord, when you appeared as Hayagriva with the head of a horse, you killed two demons known as Madhu and Kaitaba, who were full of the modes of passion and ignorance. Then you delivered the Vedic knowledge to Lord Brahma. For this reason, all the great saints accept your forms as transcendental, untinged by the material qualities. So this confirms, this confirms basically that we're talking about a specific one, that there's one incarnation for Kali Yuga. And basically, I just, the major topic is the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, in purport that we just read, the importance of not accepting cheap incarnations, and the central position of Shastra, the central position, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. You know, sometimes we don't like that. We might want to say the central position is Guru, is Srila Prabhupada ki. He must be the central. No, but Srila Prabhupada himself, even Krishna himself, defers to Shastra. Some of you know in 13.5 in Bhagavad Gita that many, how does it go again? How does it start? Many saintly persons chant the scriptures, and they refer, and Brahma Sutra Pataischaiva he tu madbir vinishchitai, that they as state, you know, Lord Sri Krishna refers to the Vedanta Sutra as authoritative. So he himself refers to scripture. That was in reference to he had just described all the different components of the field of activities, the kshetra. So he gave a very specific list, both gross and subtle parts of the field of activities. You can say the body, but the body also includes desire and hate and even the aggregate, and all these components are put together describing the field of activities. And so Lord Sri Krishna takes the trouble to say, this is from Shastra. This is described in the Vedanta Sutra, which is referred to as Brahma Sutra in that verse. So that we shouldn't feel in any way disappointed that the Shastra is the basis. I know that at the beginning of the movement, one of my memories of 26 Second Avenue is that I noticed there was something different about Swamiji. He looked at the books. He wasn't just speaking like one other guru. I won't mention his name, but he's a good guy, I suppose, and a good friend of Allen Ginsberg, this other one. He was saying, love is the beginning, love is the middle, and love is the end. Well, that's nice. We're not going to argue with that. But you're not going to find that in Shastra exactly. I mean, I don't know if I should say whimsical, but it's just some poetic idea, but that's not Siddhanta. That's not, yes, love is extremely important, and Shastra confirms that. Prema is the ultimate goal of everything we're trying to do, is to achieve Krishna Prema. But Srila Prabhupada was different. I noticed one time he opened this book on some kind of lectern or stand. It was this big, thick book. And he said, now today we will read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh. And he would read something and then speak, so it was different. He was not. And also he told Umapati in the very early days, maybe Umapati was still Wali, and he told him, Umapati told him, or Wali told him, I like you very much, you're very nice. I'm so attracted to you, that's wonderful. But how do I know what you're teaching us is the truth? I mean, you know, pretty frank question. He wasn't being insolent or, as you say, offensive. Prabhupada probably appreciated that kind of question. We should also question. There was even used to be a bumper sticker a long time ago. It said, question authority. Of course, we shouldn't become too insubordinate. But sometimes we have to. But the thing is, what was Prabhupada's answer? He said, I only speak from the scripture. And as the story goes, the anecdote, Wali Umapati was satisfied. He felt very satisfied with that. He was at peace with that, for sure. All right, so the main thing is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I know when I first joined, some of you may know a little, I mean, there's so many great devotees, I don't know if you remember my particular situation. Although I received, not as a formal diksha, but I received the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra from Srila Prabhupada by hearing and immediately made me chant. I was a crazy guy, 20 years old, and then before you know it, on LSD. But I still was chanting all the time. I mean, I would chant. I went to my friend Ira Shapiro's house, and I was acting real crazy and I'm preaching in my own way, you know, Krishna, Buddha, you know, Shiva, you know, just preaching very whimsically, so-called preaching. And my friend Ira, he told me, my name used to be Lon. He said, Lon, don't preach, chant. It's like occupational therapy. He put a guitar in my hands and then I started playing Hare Krishna. I got others to play. I even once sat down in the kitchen of Allen Ginsberg and I sat on the floor and I started having kirtan. And even Allen Ginsberg came, these two little finger symbols, and was dancing and chanting along. So we had about 5 or 10 minute kirtan. So I don't know how I did it, but somehow or another, you know, even a crazy fellow, Prabhupada, maybe without even realizing what I was doing, I was preaching, I was spreading the holy name. Even though I was bonkers, as we say. So, where did I take off from the... All right, so yeah, okay, so when I finally joined, I was just giving a little personal history. When I finally joined the movement, I mean, in those days, joining means you move in the temple. It wasn't, there was not much congregation. You even as late as 75, when I finally, quote, joined, unquote, you really did join. You gave up everything, you moved in the temple and surrendered and did whatever you were told. And that's how I became a book distributor, not by choice, but you know, in fact, the temple president told me, you either go with Agrani Prabhu in the van on traveling Sankirtan, or you have to leave the temple. And I really couldn't leave. I had no shelter anymore in material life. So I crawled into the van and I went to sleep. And the next thing you know, okay, get out. Get your book bag and get out there. So, okay, when I actually joined, that's what joining was. It was almost like Atma Nivedana. It was like really complete surrender. You had to just surrender completely. And where am I going with this? So one is senior moment. The other is only 4 hours sleep. So I'm not trying to make excuses, but I think it's a pretty good excuse for spacing out. But all right, anyway, forgive me. So the general theme to talk about is the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, when I first joined in the Boston Temple, and I clicked back in again, I said, how could this be true? I heard that Lord Chaitanya comes only once in a day of Lord Brahma, and then there was some incredible, fantastic time scale. And I mean, I don't win lotteries. How could I be just in that, they call it Kali Yuga, okay, just in that time frame when God comes in his most merciful incarnation, and he only comes once in a day of Lord Brahma, which is so incredibly long, and so many Kali Yugas, and I'm just in the right Kali Yuga, And in the right part of the Kali Yuga, it's the golden age of Lord Chaitanya. I don't remember remembering all that, but I mean, in retrospect, I could have added these other coincidences to my astonishment, because I don't win lotteries. I mean, it's like winning a lottery. How could that happen? I know someone told me, or afterwards I was suggested that, you know, what if you were told that you won the, what is it called, the Powerball or whatever it's called, some big lottery, millions of dollars, and you said that the chances of me winning, it's ridiculous. Don't trick me. I'm not going to waste money on a cab and go to claim the ticket, because it's just too unlikely that it could happen. Well, you really lose, don't you? You know, you don't go claim your ticket. So let's claim our ticket. You know, if we won the lottery. I mean, somehow or another, I guess the reason I didn't leave at that time was not because my doubt was satisfied or answered, but because I had no place to go. I was fried, he used to say, fried. I couldn't go back to material, nonsense. So, all right, so the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were there. We did win the lottery. We're in the right Kali Yuga. We're getting this mercy of Lord Chaitanya. We hardly realize how, quote, lucky we are. We still only depends on who we are, who we're talking about. But I know in my own case, my appreciation is only a tiny fraction of what it really should be. Last night we had a program, a home program, and it's a question of taking advantage of the mercy. I mentioned the incident with the Vishnujan Swami. It's a kind of famous encounter with Prabhupada. And he said very emotionally, he said, Srila Prabhupada, you give me so much mercy. You give me so much mercy. And Prabhupada said, I give my mercy equally to all my disciples, but you take advantage of it. So we're all getting the mercy showered upon us, and it's a question of, the example of go out in the sun, in other words, don't stay in the darkness, go to the light. The sun is there, you can go into the sun, become enlightened, and be in the light. Tamasi namaj or tir gamaha, get out of the darkness, but we have to do it. Many of us maybe do it halfway. We put one foot in the light and keep the other foot in the darkness or something like that. That could be a little dicey, as we say. So, avatara yashankeya hare sarpan nide rajan yata vidashina kulyaha sarasasyu sahasasaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.26. O Brahmanas, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable, like rivulets flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. So that almost gives one an excuse for, even in a case up to Sanatan Goswami, questioning so many incarnations, maybe everyone's an incarnation. I mean, there are unlimited numbers of incarnations, so it makes it seem like, okay, he could be one, he could be one, there's so many of them. Who's to say that even I'm not an incarnation? So, this is could be confusing. But as it's stated here very clearly, we have to go according to Shastra. That was also in the, was it with Sarvamoma Bhattacharya, actually, and his brother-in-law, Gopi, what was it?
Gopinath.
Was it Gopinath? Yeah, and in that conversation, very similar idea about who is the incarnation for Kali Yuga. How do we know who's an incarnation? And that verse that I quoted about the covered Chana Avatar verse, that was also quoted there. And but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was going according to Shastra. He was saying, oh, there's no incarnation in Kali Yuga. But then his brother-in-law said, well, no, that's not right. There is one, but he's covered. So therefore, he's called Tri-Yuga, one who incarnates in only three yugas. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, such an incredibly great scholar, he thought he had his brother-in-law defeated, but it didn't work, because that verse confirms that he does incarnate, but he's covered. So popular opinion is that he's Tri-Yuga, only Tri-Yuga. He only appears in three yugas. The other topic that I wanted to get into, and this gets into a very touchy area, which has become quite popular or quite prominent in the Krishna Katha amongst senior devotees and others as well throughout the movement. And it's the wonderful world of hermeneutics. I mean, you know, maybe a few years ago we wouldn't even know what that meant. Maybe some of you still don't know what it is. But it's become very important amongst the Brahmins, amongst those devotees that are supposed to be responsible for helping us to properly understand what Srila Prabhupada is teaching. And you know, it's just out there. It's like, it's all over the place. Different interpretations of the same words. The different devotees are referring to Prabhupada's teachings, taking the same words, but understanding it in different ways. Or they'll take a different quote, and it becomes quite confusing and complicated, and sometimes becomes, especially when it deals with social issues, and, you know, I won't start going into various of those, it starts to get political. Starts to become political, and the devotees have tremendous tensions with each other because of different understandings. And they're all referring to Shastra. They're all referring to Shastra. So that's not in our tradition, but throughout history, at least, you know, for the last couple of thousand years, hermeneutics was big. Hermeneutics was a big deal in different religions. How to interpret scripture? No, don't interpret. But sometimes we have no choice. This is that whole discussion about Gona Vritti or Lakshana Vritti as opposed to Mukhya Vritti or Abhidhana Vritti. That this is very clearly described. I think Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and other acharyas, they describe that the default mode must be literal. We should be literal. We accept it, you know, probably like Bhagavad Gita, as it is. We accept each word, and if you could look in a proper dictionary and find out, of course, that itself becomes difficult because a Sanskrit word can have so many different meanings. But I suppose you have to look in the Monier Williams dictionary and go through so many different meanings and try to distill the essence from that. So that's the default mode. We should take it like literally, like from a dictionary. But sometimes the famous example given in, is it in Chaitanya Charitamrita? In the purport? The example is there, or maybe it's even a text in the verses, where it describes there's a house on the Ganges. So you have to interpret that. Unless you're talking about a houseboat that's floating on the water, you're not talking about a houseboat, you're talking about a house, you know, with a foundation or whatever. And so you can't take that literally. You have to go to the Gauna Vritti or the Lakshana Vritti, or the symptoms, or you have to take an indirect approach. And the adjustment is very, very simple. The house is on the banks of the Ganges, even though literally the word banks is not there in the statement, but you have to just kind of inject that. You have to insert that other word that's on the banks of the Ganges. Oh, that's speculation. It says the house on the Ganges, it must be floating. No, it's not like that. There is a license for that. Now, we shouldn't abuse it and just become huge mental speculators, foolishly. But why am I even mentioning all this in this class? Because there's only one incarnation of Kali Yuga. So that sort of struck me as a potential apparent contradiction that how is there only one? First of all, we have, I won't stumble over it, so I'll read it. Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatara Nama Haite Haya Sarva Jagat Nishtara. See, Adi Lila 17.21. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. So, what fun. There is an apparent contradiction there. Because here we're reading there's only one incarnation, but here it specifically states, in Shastra, that there's a Hare Krishna Mahamantra is an incarnation. I was discussing a little bit with Bhadra Prabhu before the class. We had slightly different opinions about this, but what about Lord Buddha? He's an incarnate. Even if he's Shakti Vesha Avatar, but he's still, that's Avatar. It's a type of incarnation. And he has certainly appeared in Kali Yuga. You can read about Lord Buddha and when he appeared and all that, and Prabhupada mentions many times. And he's even in the list of Dasavatar. So maybe he is, say he's Vishnu Tattva. Does somebody know conclusively whether Lord Buddha is Vishnu Tattva or Jiva Tattva? Does somebody remember that from? Not sure. Okay, we won't speculate. But whatever Tattva he is, the point is he is considered incarnation and he's certainly in Kali Yuga. And then what about Kalki? Okay, that we could write off because Kalki was at the very end of Kali Yuga. We say it was Yuga Sandhya. Who else might? What about Jesus Christ? What about Srila Prabhupada? What about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta? They're also avatar. They're not Vishnu Tattva, they're Jiva Tattva, so they're Shakta Vesha avatar, specially empowered. We know Srila Prabhupada was especially empowered by any criterion to accomplish what he did was not only unprecedented, but impossible for anyone who's not specifically empowered. There's even that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that without being especially empowered by the Lord, no one could spread the Hare Krishna Mahamantra all over the world. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. can't get away from it. He's, you know, it's not like rah rah for our team, you know. He's our founder, so he must be great. It's not like that. It's according to Shastra, according to logic, according to history. It's amazing, our good fortune. I was mentioning like winning the lottery. Not only did we come in the right Kali Yuga and the right day, you know, the right time of the day of Lord Brahma, which is such a vast time frame, but we came at the golden age of Lord Chaitanya. That's another, you know, makes it even more unlikely coincidence. And then not only that, but we're also in the Sampradaya, which gives us access to Chaitanya Charitamrita and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and especially special emphasis on the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I mean, how lucky can you get? So, I'm not going to try to resolve this completely. You can talk hours about the apparent contradiction that I'm mentioning, but it is a not only an opportunity, but it's also obliges us to go to depend on indirect. There's some interpretation is called for in such a case. What was that? What was the example? What is the point? The relevant point is that there's only one incarnation in Kali Yuga, and I mentioned several others which are recognized. I mean, if you have doubts about all the others, you can't doubt that. There's the verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Shastra says that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Then you can say, okay, Hare Krishna Mantra is non-different from Lord Chaitanya, non-different from Krishna. All right, you can go that way. But there's some discussion required. It's called hermeneutics. When we have no alternative but to interpret, how do we do that the proper way? And then there's so many different schools. There's been a lot in ISKCON in the last 15 years or so. There's the, what is that called? The Shastra, Rumala is in charge. Shastra
stuff.
Shastra Advisory Committee, SAC, yeah. So that has been very much involved with this hermeneutics. It keeps coming up. So hermeneutics is how to study scripture, how to interpret it when we're not talking about nonsense, whimsical interpretation, unnecessary interpretation. I'm just saying when there's no other way to go, we have to interpret it in such a way that we reconcile apparent contradictions. And Prabhupada said that you should study my book scrutinizingly. So I was mentioning, I think last night, that it's like devotional service like a razor's edge. And that's not only in terms of karma, that's in terms of jnana also. It's like a razor's edge, because on the one hand, we're supposed to study Prabhupada's book scrutinizingly. Scrutinizing means that you see a contradiction or an apparent contradiction, you can't say, no, there can't be any contradiction. This blasphemous against Prabhupada, no, you can't do that. Scrutinizingly means you will find many different things which you might read one thing here and another thing there, and then they're whole different, almost different orders in ISKCON, that some go this way and some go that way. Like the fall of the jiva, that's a great example. You know, it's divisive, you might say, but, you know, we have to do some interpretation here. He's Prabhupada said this, and Prabhupada also said that. So apparent contradiction. We're not going to get into that. Otherwise, we'll be here till 12 midnight tonight, and we'll have barely beginning the discussion. So anyway, thank you so much for giving me some minutes, the opportunity to say something, and any question, comment, correction, chastisement, or whatever else. Uh-oh, Shiva Kram, he's going to heavy me out now.
What I find, or what I actually conclude recently, is Srila Prabhupada was dealing especially with Western students, Western devotees, and most did not even have very basic knowledge about...
What? What was that last thing you said?
I said most of them did not even have basic knowledge about the Vedic literatures.
Okay, most of the
Western students. So Srila Prabhupada is writing, he had to get onto the very basics, and his writing was, you know, like very, very... He practically had to explain everything from the basics, you know, he had to, from the kindergarten level, you know, and so in that way, and then like this is a good example where he said that Lord Chaitanya is the holy incarnation, but he didn't really meant that, maybe he had, you know, he was, I don't know, you know,
he came to the point that
He just had to write.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree with that. Not even could be applied to the big question of the fall of the jiva, that Srila Prabhupada had to deal with, especially Westerners, he had to deal with uneducated, no education in Vedic. Many were not even college students. So that gives some rationale, some historical background, why Prabhupada would say things that may seem to be, we'll say, apparent contradictions. But not only what Prabhupada preaching in the West and Nirvishesha Sanyavadi and all of that, but also you might find even in the Shastra itself, apparent, aside from Srila Prabhupada's challenge of preaching in the West, there was also the Shastra itself, which is not just, you know, Western Shastra, not at all, it's Vedic. So that's also there. So, you know, it's not an easy thing to deal with, and the proof is the fairly recent history of our society is that it's quite challenging. So we have to, Guru Prabhupada said that we have to understand Krishna with a cool head. So the main thing is not to make these discussions political and then form different. Someone even suggested that the only solution is we follow like the different Christian Catholic churches and they form different orders. So we live and let live. You know, if you only accept the so-called original books, then, you know, you can have, you know, you can be part of the general ISKCON organization, but you're a different order. You're they changed the books order. And if you, you know, you respect what the BBT did, you've read Responsible Publishing back in 1999 or so, you've taken the trouble to read it, and you feel comfortable with at least most of the editing that was done, that it was justified, and you're also able to question, what is original? They changed the books, they changed it from what? I mean, if you can ask these kind of questions without getting your head shot off, then you can be in a different order or something like that. I've seen devotees almost physically fighting with each other over this issue. And there are other issues also, the role of women, so many things. Putin came out with a blasphemous statement according to, you know, the way of the world nowadays. He declared it very boldly. There are only two genders. Oh, he's homophobic, anti-trans, Anyway, this is what's going on out there, and some of it filters into even our society. There's more tensions. So I guess the only solution is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That much we can understand. Oh my Lord, oh spiritual energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. And don't let my service be limited to only fighting with other devotees. Do you have a question?
I just want to say something in defense of the dopey Westerners.
Stita Muni, the best kind of Muni, Stita Deer Muni.
First place, something in defense of the dopey Americans. One thing is, Prabhupada tried to preach in India for quite some time before he came to America. That was his first choice, and somehow it didn't grab. So, who knows the Vedas? You know, and the other thing is, I remember talking to Advaitacharya, and he says before Prabhupada came back to India, it was really, I think he grew up near Mathura or someplace, very Sankarite influenced, very impersonalistic, and when Prabhupada came back and really turned the energy back towards bhakti in a very popular, you know, cultural way.
What was impersonal?
When he grew up, his impression of Vedic culture is very impersonal, very Sankarite, and that seemed to be the norm, the standard.
Who are you talking about?
Advaitacharya, he's an elder, elder doctor. So he grew up in India.
Contemporary or
what?
Someone named Advaitacharya?
Yeah, he's not like from he's a Das, Advaitacharya Das.
Advaitacharya Das.
He was a Vaishnava. No, he's a Vaishnava. The actual point is that the culture, maybe he was a Vaishnava, but the culture as you experienced it at that time growing up was very gone. I mean, I remember that in America, Indian culture, it's all Sankarite. You know, they're teaching out in school what Indian culture is, because it's all Sankarite and personalism. I guess from the point I'm driving
at... Nirvishesha Sunyavadi.
Yeah, that's Prabhupada, that's what Bhaktisiddhanta lit up, in Prabhupada,
Absolute ascension, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast removed.
Yeah, so there was trouble in paradise, let me put it that way, okay? And Prabhupada came back and helped alleviate that in the service of Bhaktisiddhanta. But even more important than that, Prabhupada's writing and his purports. Any author of any worth can write on many levels simultaneously. And we look at the Bhagavatam and we talk as unlimited levels of meaning. So if someone wants to surf Prabhupada's commentary that it's just meant for first graders, that's as deep as you're going to go. But Prabhupada, as an exalted soul, I'll just use general language, had tons of meaning he invested in those verses. And if you want to surf it, that's you have fun. But he invested, any writer can do that. I was in second grade and we're studying Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn. And the lesson for us second graders was, you know, one level is just an adventure story for young boys. Another level is a social commentary on, you know, satirical social commentary of American culture. You know, and he's writing threading many storylines. Mm. And within the tradition, there was this guy, son of Suryadev, he was the son of Gyanaraj. They were Vaishnavs, they were Jyotisha astronomer, Sanskrit mathematicians. But he wrote a commentary, you read it one direction, and he started this tradition of literature, allegedly. You read it like from left to right, it's about Ram Leela. And you read it from right to left, it's about...
All right, when I'm taking home with me from your very erudite comment, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, Srila Prabhupada was able to, in the same purport, he was able to write on various levels. And depending upon what level I might be on, or we may be on, or you may be on, we may come out with a teaching or a conclusion.
Yeah, that
it's just what we're able to integrate. But if we look, you know, more deeply, or you hear Prabhupada's lectures, sometimes even just his tone of voice would imply so much.
Yeah.
That's not directly presented.
So it's not that mystical that you say, oh, Prabhupada was doing that. Jeez, you know, any good teacher will do that. It's not like the teachers at the lateral learning.
Well, now that's where I part company from you. I mean, we don't have to use the word mystical, but it's not that what Prabhupada is doing, any good teacher would do it. You can say in principle, yeah, in terms
yeah,
of
the
logic
the
of it, but
not the
after
substance.
All, Srila Prabhupada's corpus, his monumental, just limiting ourselves to his literary output, and that's why Prabhupada, he woke up in the 1 o'clock in the morning, so no one would disturb him. He said, every word must be perfect. I have to, you know, be completely focused on this.
Well, I wasn't talking about the substance. I mean, that's where Prabhupada's unique. Because any good teacher can do it, but what is Prabhupada teaching? That's what makes Prabhupada unique. He's given the whole program of Krishna Bhakti.
Yeah, all right. But I doubt that even if...
I mean, that would be my...
I just think that not only because he chose the most important subject matter, but because he was empowered to do what you're saying is done in many places, multiple meanings and, you know, like nesting of different levels of, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But Srila Prabhupada was empowered to do that in an especially deep way. Yes, Prabhu?
Lon, don't preach, chant. Where's your guitar?
Yeah, well, I remembered that part of my...
Anyway, your stories of meeting Prabhupada at 26 Second Avenue are very precious to us. The very first verse you read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think you and I were thinking the same thing, because you said you needed to do more research. It said that the Guna avatars are limitless and cannot be counted. So we understand Guna avatars, goodness, passion, and anger, as Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva. So that verse said that they're limitless and cannot be counted. So yes, that does need researching. So to facilitate your research, I would like to offer, I have here at New Ramarethi a vast Sanskrit library of all the original Goswami's books and their commentaries and other books in Sanskrit, Bengali, Hindi, Brij Bhasha, and English. And we could facilitate your research. For example, Srila Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavatamrita describes the avatars very concisely, very listed in point form, all the various incarnations. And there's also books like Chaitanya Upanishad that was discovered by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, And there's a number of anthologies where they, different scholars collect all the different quotes from Shastra about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's avatar. So those are very valuable anthologies. So, because only because you said those things need more research.
Maybe you
I just
could
thought
try,
I would offer
you can
our
try
library
to give
here.
A, give a seminar on that, because you have so many sources. I think I should know you. What is your name, Prabhu?
Dasharath Sutadas. I'm a published BBT translator, and I have a full library, Sanskrit library here at New Ramanreti.
Oh, all right. You're Dasharath Sutta, wonderful. So nice to meet you after so many
years. We've been
years.
Crossing paths for 50 years. West 55th Street, New York City.
And you wrote those wonderful word-for-word books and other books. You wrote that additional song book, I think?
More Songs of the Vaishnava Acharya.
More Songs of the Vaishnava Acharya. Jai, I applaud you. Hare Krishna. You did great work. And I'm glad to see that you still seem so have vim and vigor, as they used to say. That's great. I was your neighbor in... was it somewhere in Baltimore near there that and you didn't like that they were cut down the trees around your house and you moved away or something?
Marari Seva.
Marari Seva, okay. You wanted to say something to me?
Oh, it's getting late, but yeah, I was, well, I'm a lawyer, and there are, just like there's different human philosophies of hermeneutics in the legal profession, there's canons of judicial construction that are applied, like, you know, you have to interpret. If something is clear on its face, you can't interpret it. There's questions of when evidence can be brought in as to what the parties meant when they said those
so
things.
So hermeneutics
can
apply to law as well as to shastra.
It must apply, you know, it must very much apply. And there's all kinds of rules about it, about what you can do.
Yeah, Prabhupada would sometimes talk about the law books. He said, even in a court of law, they have the books, so you have to be able to quote from precedents or
right.
Common law, whatever it is.
Because judges are interpreting statutes, contracts, constitutions, all kinds of texts all the time, and then lawyers are arguing what the judge should interpret it this way or that way, and you refer to, at least in the Anglo-American tradition, you refer to
precedents. So you have
precedents.
You sometimes have no choice but to do some interpretation.
Yeah, often you have no choice. Right. People can't properly say exactly what they mean.
It's very interesting how it applies in such a practical field.
I wanted to agree with Sthitati Muni about that. I think it's an illegitimate move to say, oh, Prabhupada was preaching to Westerners and therefore he didn't tell you. As if, I mean, like, for example, he talked about the imitation incarnations, you know, like it's Indians that have been accepting it, you know, these things. There's a lot, you know, I just agree with Sthitati Muni. I remember that Kundalini and Satchanarayan were using that.
You say you disagree with...
I agree very much
with
him, that it's not a legitimate move to say, you know, Prabhupada would have said something different if he had Indian disciples. Of course, he had Indian disciples too, but I mean, I think that, you know, Western people are very analytical.
Well,
and
in the purport we're reading, Prabhupada is saying in India there are so many bogus incarnations.
Exactly. And there, you know, Paramahansa, whatever, Ramakrishna Paramahansa was just imitation of...
Srila Prabhupada did not really alter the teachings in any important way just because he was preaching in the West.
It's a dangerous...
The same year that Shesha Sunyavadi was going rampant in India as well, so...
People can use that to justify, like some fool, like an Indian body devotee, wrote on my Facebook wall that the real truth is that you have to be born in a Brahmin family to initiate a disciple. And but Prabhupada didn't say that because Westerners couldn't. And it's like, that's just so obviously wrong for so many reasons. And I think that it's dangerous as a method of hermeneutics or interpretation to just start saying, you know, Indian body devotees are more capable of properly interpreting, or because I'm Indian, my interpretation is better. And one final thing I want to say is that, a separate point is that a couple of weeks ago, Madhumati gave a very nice class here on the Bhagavatam class here in New Ramanreti, and she was talking about how, you know, even though Vaishnavas themselves have different opinions about different things. And we were reading a purport where I think Jiva Goswami proved that Sridhar Swami was you know, his opinion was different. She didn't say it was wrong. He just proved that the something that Sridhar Swami said was
different angles of vision.
Yeah, and then she said, you know, we have to. I really appreciated the class that I don't think we should, you know, split up into into different orders. That, you know, I'm the book change order and I'm not the book changer. We have to focus on what's important, what we agree about, and what our duty is to Srila Prabhupada. Is, you know, to,
well, like in the Brahma Sangita, that long, long purport about that
Svakya and Parikya,
the 64 arts, and then the purport goes on and on about 10 pages, and then at the end of the purport, the resolutions, we have to accept. I believe it was Srila Rupa Goswami, and his conclusion about this whole idea of Parakya Rasa, and were they married, were they not married, to Goloka or Gokula, and how that all jumbles and bounces off one another. And then he finally came with the conclusion, and it's pretty much in line, Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta. We have to accept the great authorities. Of course, as Prabhupada's saying, Shastra is at the center. With these great authorities, they're properly understanding Shastra, even though they may amongst themselves seem to have some difference. So even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had to grapple with differences amongst great acharyas on this question, very esoteric question about what's going on Goloka as opposed to Gokul, and this is Parakya, are they really married, are they not married? It's just, and it gets very, very intricate and profound logic. So my time is up. Thank you all. If anyone else wants to say anything. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantaraj Srimad, Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. So you can go on. I have to end the class.
But before Prabhupada came, he wrote the
Thank you. Krishna, Hare, 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 Hare,